wrapping up the weekend of footy.
Get purple in here and discuss footy.
This is Damo's recovery session for Coat Tire. Call 13 15 52 and let's make it happen.
Welcome to you, Damo, for Coat Tire. Nice to see you on a Monday.
Hello, Jim.
Hey, Damo.
Yes.
I'm worried.
Well, we start positively, Bill, on Monday.
No,
Are you telling me you're going down the negative path?
Ugly games on the weekend.
Yeah,
poor skills, poor goal kicking, poor umpiring, low scores. There's supposed to be the 6-6-6. There's two scores over 100 points on the weekend, Damien. Drop marks.
Yeah.
I'm worried.
Well, Bill, again, people shouldn't confuse close finishes and narrow results with watchable footy. And I refer to those two games yesterday, St Kilda and Hawthorn. I mean, well done, St Kilda. We'll touch on them in a moment.
Yeah.
But it was hard to watch that game, as it was the other game, the Gold Coast Suns and Carlton game. And you take out the drama around the narrow finishes, there's nothing to like about the games. The scoring is well down, Bill. Now, last year they acted, didn't they, Jim and,
yep.
and Bill, on the 6-6-6 requirements on the back of poor scoring last
year
and this the general look of the game. Well, it's come down already this year. In four rounds of footy this year, the average score is around about 80 points per team. Last year it was 83 points, Bill. So, and that was the year in which they acted on. So it's already had an effect that has gone the other way.
Why
and,
is this, James?
Well, the coaches are controlling it. And Jim, you I'm keen to get your view because you do study the game.
We discussed it just off the top on the Rub Saturday. Already a month in, and whatever they've done to try and increase ball movement and scoring hasn't worked. And we only played a month.
I've got a view, and again, you can't quantify this really, but coaches hate having any form of control taken away from them. They are control freaks.
Yep.
That's how they get their jobs, and that's how they stay in the jobs. But so when the AFL says to them as a group, we're going to take this, and this away from you, which they did with the 6-6-6 setup, which they did with the non-allowance to having a runner running onto the field, and also they're being provided with the opportunity to kick the ball out quickly on the behind being kicked by the opposition. But they're not taking that one up because that's almost out of their control. So what they can control is what they used to do, and that is slow it down from that point. So, Alistair Clarkson, he's all over it. He'll be the one that works something out, I think, before anyone else does. But even after his loss yesterday to the Saints, he was bemoaning the general poor play of football this year.
A lot of games have been decided by small margins with not many goals being scored. Who would have thought the Pies and the Dogs would have the game that they had on, you know, 90 uncontested marks, not each, but between them in the first quarter, 10 inside 50s to 9. One goal to zero goals. The game is in a really, really interesting phase and everyone's trying to work it out. And I ain't got any answers just at the minute. I don't think many others have either.
Jim, you're host broadcasting Channel 7 and you called that game in question there, the Channel
Friday
7
night.
Game Friday night. Is it a worry again? Because we do know for a fact that the senior executives of Channel 7 went to the AFL last year about this time, maybe a little bit later in the season as well, to say we've got to do something to change it. Are you, as a network, thinking the same things again?
I think the matchups for this round, for this year, on certainly the seven nights, Friday and Saturday night, been really good.
Really good.
If you look at the games you get on paper, you go, beauty, that's going to be a beauty. But sometimes it just doesn't work out. And you're right, Friday night to half time was just very, very tough to enjoy. Got better.
It did.
I thought the second half of the game was actually a lot better.
I thought it was, I love watching that game in the second half because I love anything that Dugowie does full stop, no matter if he gets or he doesn't. And Bontempelli, Bill, I think he's playing
superstar.
Better than
brilliant.
Ever. So I reckon the individuals got that game over the line. But you go through another couple of games, the Derby was a stinker. The North Melbourne-Adelaide game was unwatchable, bar for the supporters of both clubs. We touched on the two games out of yesterday, and again, the Western Bulldogs-Collingwood game, just to back over that, was pretty unwatchable for the first quarter.
Right,
at the very
least. What we have discussed this before, and I know Chris Judd's big on this. I know you've got him tonight on Footy Classified.
You're hosting.
Damo hosting, and Juddy going to the other side of the desk.
Juddy's going to be sitting in the hot seat. From panellist to guest.
Right, we need to talk about that because that's interesting what you're going to do with him and around the Blues. But I know he floated that something along the lines of any points above 100, a double from a percentage point of view. Is that right? Or something along those lines?
It was trying to incentivise the scoring, whatever it was, the model he had,
Well, I reckon as we tighten this competition up, and the equalisation's done that within the AFL, so, you know, the distance between 18th and 1st is nowhere near as great as it used to be. I don't mind maybe the thought of exploring that. So if you kick 100 points, any point over 100, you get double four. Maybe it'll incentivise mobs to actually start hitting the scoreboard, because that's my concern looking at this purple, is not enough goals are being kicked.
I have an issue with that. I think there's enough flaws in the system anyway when 18 teams play 22 games for starters. And then some teams get access to the pristine stadiums and a lot of clubs don't. So I have an issue with changing dramatically a scoring mechanism, which can ultimately impact on where.
How do we get rid of this? Because you've got two teams, as Bill said, across nine games that have managed to kick 100 points.
And are now down to, on the four rounds of football this year, averaging 80 points per team. It's
so
just
how do we fix it? And well, so Clarko said, and he's the one, he's the little magician that'll get in the science lab
and work out
something, won't he?
Yep.
But he said
Essendon, I feel, is trying to, on the back of what they did against Melbourne in round three and the Lions in round four. They are pushing through. Yep. I think GWS has intent to do so as well. And hopefully West Coast will score heavily too. They just got dragged down by the Dockers over the weekend.
North fans will say if they could remotely kick straight instead of kicking 1-9, they probably would have kicked 100 too. So maybe, there's reasons, but it is a concern. All right, we need to take a break. Now we're going to have a look at the Blues next, Bill. Some damning statistics around
that
place.
Bolton.
For Coat Tire, Damien Barrett's in the studio.
And we're talking the Blues, Purple, and with the whole positive negative thing, we obviously have a giggle at in here, but is it starting to get legitimately now concerning where they're at? I mean, some of the stats, I know one of the articles in the Age today actually went through where they're at, and it's pretty bloody damning. What have they won? Two games of their last.
Well, it's pretty simple, Jim. They've won three of their past 36. That goes back to the 2017 season where they only won one in that back stretch of games. Yeah. They only won two in the entirety of 2018. And here we are.
Haven't scored 100 points in 59 games. Nearly 3 years of footy.
Yeah. And, I mean, they're not even meeting the average of 80, are they, this year? So,
and they've had some very good draft picks and early picks. They just can't see. Because you hear the same thing every time when they lose.
That's the problem, isn't it?
And the same message. Oh, we're disappointed. Supporters are disappointed.
Yeah.
But there's some good green shoots there and all that. Well, no, there's not.
I'm strongly of the view in terms of how they're going to tackle this situation with Brendan Bolton, the coach, in that they will allow him to coach the year out. There is the way they're thinking anyway, and look, we do know things can change, don't we? But they're committed to allowing him to have this year. But with each passing week and with each time that the scoreline, Bill, is still a zero in the win column, which it is after four games this year, the only team yet to win a game this year, yet again, it's just becoming a damning and ultimately what will be an overwhelming number that works against him.
So what club's trying to do is sell hope.
Yep.
What is the hope there?
Well, I don't have it because the kids are making mistakes in the final 10 minutes of yesterday's game. And that's okay too, because that's youth. But if they keep doing it and they're not showing it, look, Cripps stands up every single time. There's worries about Charlie Curnow, aren't there? I mean, I know he's been banged up already for a young player, but he's not impacting. And maybe it's because of the injuries that he has been sustaining to his knees. But I don't see the green shoots that Brendan Bolton does. And I am pretty keen tonight to ask a few questions, as I'm sure the others will, of Chris Judd, who was the footy director.
Exactly. He won't be on the panel. He'll be in the hot seat tonight on Footy Classified, Damien hosting. Also, as it stands at the minute, they've given away their first pick to Adelaide.
Yeah, and that's another situation, isn't it? So,
but Damo, we had a chat on Saturday night. Got great access to Chris Scott before the game, and he said they've had one pick inside the top 10 in their last 10 drafts. So that's what I'm interested in. If Juddy was sitting here, or if Brendan Bolton was sitting here, whoever from Carlton, is you go, how can Geelong have one top 10 pick in 10 straight drafts and yet still maintain the level of excellence they have? You had five number one overall draft picks on your list at the same time until Gibbs was traded out. That means you finished last five times and received the first pick in the whole draft five times.
Yeah.
And you're still 0-4 after finishing last year.
And the recruiters will won't say this publicly, Jim, but they, I would imagine, privately would argue it's a development and coaching thing. They're bringing these quality of talent into the team, and yet they're not flourishing as you would expect the raw numbers to indicate. And I think it's all part of this conversation right now. Have they got the right players? Are they developing them the right way? And ultimately, when it comes to the coach, is he doing the right thing once he gets his hands on them?
Are they doing what Bill Shorten will do in a month and a half's time, and that's spend his first 2 years blaming the previous administration? Yeah. Is that what they're doing?
We've got to be better than that. They've got to be better than that, don't they?
Well,
because they've been down that path a few times.
But you had Steve Silvani on this same show. I think you had him last year.
Yeah, about this time last year.
And the quotes I read out of that were loosely veiled, basically saying that we can't be held responsible for the mistakes made in the past. So if I'm a Blues fan, I'm
pissed off.
You're looking at that yesterday going, is this honestly where we're at?
Yeah. And the
three
only
years
positive.
And four games. That's how long he's been there.
Yeah, it's his fourth season. Yeah.
Fourth season.
And there's no way, I mean, to get back to your point, Bill, and this is ultimately all that it comes down to, how do you sell hope with him as coach with a scoreline like that? You can't. And that's what's going to get him in the end. But he will look at it. He's got 18 games remaining this year to rectify it. But it's getting away from him if it hasn't already got away from him. Adelaide's another worry, aren't they, guys?
They weren't good Saturday.
No, again, we touched on this last week. I just assumed that they'd put the problems of 2018 behind them, and we're going to be getting a version of the 2017 Crows, but we're not. They're 1-3, Bill, and they just looked dreadful against North Melbourne. I mean, you talk about lifeless teams. They've got not one bit of spark about them at the moment. Well, there's not one positive to come out of that club.
Eddie was better.
He was better. But even Eddie being better on Saturday night is not nowhere near the Eddie of 2016 and 17 and 15 particularly. No, I think they're in trouble. The crosstown team from the Crows, the Port Adelaide team, started nicely, but have had a reality check in the past fortnight, and I'm worried about them in terms of the finals that they all thought was going to happen after their good start.
Richmond, a great win.
Terrific win.
That's a good win, yeah.
Really, really good win. Yep.
Speaking of, if we're going to finish on the negative, we had a good look Saturday afternoon at the Brisbane Lions.
Yes,
Jim. Did they come to earth with a thud?
Yeah.
And I've been a big supporter of those, but they, from the first bounce,
they
fumbled.
Out of that game. From the start,
they jumpy. Yeah. They were everything. They were not in that game. Very disappointing.
And I think it is probably a reality check for them. And they're going to win games back at the Gabba, and I think they're a massive chance against Collingwood on Thursday night. It's a real interesting game.
Positives coming up next. Time for some positivity.
Come on, baby.
I like to be positive on this show. Bill took me down negative road.
Six teams are 3-1 at the minute. Three of those teams are the Lions, St Kilda and the Suns.
You wouldn't have picked that, would you? And while we're talking positivity and positively, Gold Coast and St Kilda, I put my hand up here. Round one, when they played out a one-point result that went the Saints' way, I thought, handy result for two also Rens, and they've really been good, haven't they, Bill? I mean, the Gold Coast, that's the only game they've lost. It's incredible. They're closest to being the most unbeaten team in the comp.
You know who's good? The coach.
Stewie Jew.
Good on him.
Yeah. Yep. They just reset, didn't they? And we talked about in the trade period of last year, once Lynch was well and truly out the door, which followed Gary Ablett going out the door prior to that, they then thought, okay, Stephen May doesn't want to be here either. And they made sure it happened there and then. And they were able to reset on the back of that. And they could have had Stephen May moping around there this year as he had done the previous 2 years. They got rid of it, went right back. They're not, I don't think they're going to be in the eight, Jim, when the round 22 comes around.
And I
don't think, they probably deep down think that. But great start and well done. Want to really pump 14, up GWS.
14,000 there, by the way, on the weekend at the Gold Coast.
The Gold Coast Stadium, yeah.
And they had Gold Coast Titans had 6 or 8.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, very good.
Want to pump up GWS in a massive way. Went down to your place, Bill, the Cattery, and got the job done after the trauma of their co-captain, Callan Ward, going down early, also being slow to start, maybe as a linkage to the problems with Ward. But fought it out for the second consecutive weeks that the two Jeremys put in a great show. Whitfield's been a very good player now since he had the drug issue of 2.5 years ago, and I think he's tracking for best and fairest and high Brownlow votes.
Yep.
Himmelberg has shown signs and been a good player. That mark he took, Bill, it could well be reflected upon as being one of the most crucial elements of that football club's history if this year goes a certain path. And one thing they've done, which has got a lot of publicity in recent times, but it's become crucial, is Matty DeBoer's role initially on Dusty Martin in round three, and then Paddy Dangerfield and Tim Kelly even more so on the weekend, Bill. It's a crucial element to what the flopper. Giants are about.
No, I like that. I thought that was the best win of the round, no doubt about that. Melbourne better.
Melbourne was better.
Second half.
Yeah. Want to see him do it again.
Agreed.
Back in Melbourne.
Agreed.
Because ultimately they beat Sydney Swans, whose only win this year is against the team we spoke about before in a negative way, that being Carlton. So they're in a period of transition, the Swans, and I don't think they're... Yeah, North need to mention. We've been riding them pretty hard on what they'd been doing in the previous 3 weeks, particularly round one against Fremantle, but they got a win against Adelaide. Really impressed too, and I know it goes back to Saturday now, but the Richmond win against Port Adelaide, again, you need to factor in what we believe to be a lack of opposition when it comes to the power in that game, but they did it without their four big names and also Hooley being unavailable.
And in enemy territory.
And they were getting smashed late with that ball being bombed in, weren't they, Bill? Yeah. The way it just kept coming in. Yeah. And Grimes just stood up, as did Asprey on occasions. And also Stack got back for a nice
Sydney
intercepting mark late in the piece as well. So, yeah, liked it. And we touched on the Gold Coast. Jared Witts, unlikeliest of hero of all time, isn't he?
Co-captain.
5-year contract, which I did raise eyebrows at. Yep. Co-captain and a man who clearly has influence around the club. But significantly, and what we've seen in the opening four matches, starting to have that influence within the game itself, not just the time between the games.
And not a great derby, you did discuss that, but I loved what Adam Simpson said afterwards, Purple, and that is, reminds me so much of what Hawthorn used to do. They'd win a premiership, and then somehow the next year, they'd get to the end of the first month 3-1.
Yeah.
And they hadn't played well at all.
Yeah.
And Clarko would just say, I don't actually care what happens in the first month as long as we're ahead of the ledger. And they are.
Just find a way.
And they've found a way. They're going to win all their games at home. Yeah. And it's hard to see them missing a top two spot.
And ultimately what happened was that they got ambushed in round one, didn't they? When they started well, they kicked six goals against Brisbane at the Gabba. They were 6 goals to, I think, 1 at quarter time. Mm. And then they just stopped when Brisbane finally got it together. But it wasn't as if they weren't ready for what the Lions were doing. They just couldn't, probably because of the lack of preparation compared with what Brisbane was able to do. And then they've responded with three really solid wins. The GWS win in round two by the West Coast is looking better by the week too.
That was a mark to Liam Jones, by the way, late
it was,
in the
Bill.
Game. That was disappointing.
It was.
What about Peter Wright? Honestly,
you could
put an hour-long documentary together, Bill, on that last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen more errors made by footballers
and umpires.
And umpires. Jack Darling, wasn't it? It was the same as that.
It was.
Two-metre. You know, the best recruit, certainly up there, Lachie Neal's been good and Tom Lynch.
Yep.
But Pollock for North Melbourne.
Yeah, he's great.
He's put together a pretty good four games, hasn't he? Yeah, and you'd think he'd get better as the system that North plays with becomes more familiar.
Well, let's hope that pressure level, Damo, is now the standard for the Kangaroos for the rest of the year, because without that, they're an ordinary side, but with it, they'll beat good teams.
Well, it has to be, Jim, doesn't it? And it needs to be continued in the big game on Friday, the good Friday game against Essendon. I've been screaming out for this marquee slot for a number of years. Finally got it. Initially against the Bulldogs and then St Kilda, wasn't it? So they've now got not just the slot, but a quality opposition who has big drawing power. There needs to be, from a North perspective, a lot of blue and white in that crowd on Friday.
Oh, and 45,000 plus, and it needs to be a very hot day in the kitchen, Bill.
Mm. Yeah.
If you're not bringing significant heat to that game wearing blue and white, then you've got questions to be asked.
Yes, and we're good.
Your man, Anthony McDonald, tipping Woody, Bill.
Oh,
11 goals in the past 2 weeks, when he was nearly dropped or talked about being dropped into round three.
I don't want to say this, but Duck said he's the best kick for goal.
He did.
And, mate, did not look like missing, did he?
He said it early, and we were desperately hoping he missed for the rest of the day just to put some shit on Duck, and we couldn't because he kept kicking him.
Oh, he did not look like missing.
He was extraordinary.
I heard you goading him early on, and I knew what you were doing, Jim, but it blew up in your own face.
It bit us hard in the freckle.
Right,
in the old tailpipe. All right.
Buses.
Yeah, we did a couple, Bill. We've had that one down at Icon Park in Carlton there for about 5 years. We're going to send one up the Hume.
Oh, where?
Sydney Swans.
Oh, hello.
Just want to see what they're about. They need to respond. Mm. And I've been disappointed with them immensely this year, Bill. Only win that came was against Carlton. And
well, they got Richmond at Marvel this Saturday night.
Need to see something more than we've seen, Jim. Just lackluster at the moment.
And how many buses at Carlton? Just one?
Just the one. We've had that sit. Someone's taken the wheels off it. It's sort of been there for that long.
It's up on blocks.
It's on blocks.
Nice to see you, Purple. Look forward to seeing you Wednesday.
I'll see you Wednesday, boys.
See ya. That was Damo's recovery session. For Coat Hire, call 13 15 52 and let's make it happen.